Tonight, for a few minutes, we're going to talk about prayer. I don't know if anybody else has noticed, there's been a lot of talk about prayer. I think the first song we sang was, "Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray." We skipped the verse in the second song where it talks about the armor of God and the prayer and everything like that. And then, I don't know if anybody else paid attention to the offering song, "Whisper a Prayer in the Evening, in the Morning, and at Noon." Something we have to understand is what a privilege it is to pray to God. A privilege that we take often so for granted. James chapter 5, verse 16. "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit." Understand that when we pray, we are talking to God directly. It is a privilege to be able to go to God directly. Think about it. The most powerful person in this world, whoever you want to put in that position, imagine having a phone and every time you need something, you can go and talk to them directly, the person who can solve your issues. That is who God is, and that is what prayer is. And it says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Turn to Psalm 55. Oftentimes, I can't speak for anybody else, but I know when I pray, it's just I got to say it because, you know, that's customary. You know, we're supposed to pray at church. We're supposed to pray over our meals. So as long as I just say the words, that's all that matters. And sometimes I treat it as long as I just say the words, God's going to answer that prayer every single time. What we have to understand is God is not subject to us and just answering whatever we want. He's not our little genie that we go to and just we tell him what we want. And he gives it to us. He gets to set rules and he has his rules for prayer. But a effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Psalm 55, verse 16. "As for me, I will call upon God and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and noon I will pray and cry aloud and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me." Turn to Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15 and verse 8. "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight." Understand, God wants you to pray to him. God wants you to go to him in prayer at all times. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Turn to Luke chapter 10. God wants to have a conversation with us. I mean, it's weird to think about it that way, but that is what prayer is. We get to go to God and talk to him. And it's not just I got to say these magic words. That's not a true prayer. A true prayer is when you get down in your heart and you talk to your Savior, your God. It doesn't matter the words you say. We say it all the time, but it really, truly does not matter the words that you say. I don't think I told you where to go to in the book of Luke. Turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. And verse 1, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man, and there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear along with him? I tell you that he will avenge him speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Understand, a true prayer to God can do amazing things. It is because, not because of anything I've done, because God has allowed me that opportunity to pray to him. I shortchange that opportunity I have all the time. I think as long as I just, you know, make it look real. Anybody else ever fake a prayer just because you want to make it look good? That is wasting an opportunity you have to go talk to your Savior, to go talk to your God, to talk to the Creator of the heaven and earth. And he says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. He wants you to pray to him. God wants fellowship. What was the whole point of Adam and Eve in the garden? To have fellowship. What's a great way to have fellowship? A conversation. You realize how pleasant would it be if you just walked home and your husband or your wife just never said anything to you? You passed quietly and just never talked and never did anything. You get real close, real comfortable bond. I just love silence all the time. No, it's the same thing with God. He wants us to have a conversation with him. He wants to talk to us. He desires that. Turn to Psalm 145. And something that is amazing about it is he will hear your prayer if you go to him in a pleasing way to him. Oftentimes, people like to come up with their own ways and how God wants to do things and come up with their own plans and say, God will do whatever I want him to do. Understand, he will not do whatever you want him to do. But he can allow you a lot of freedom to him if you go his way. It's amazing. He sets rules and you have to follow them, and he blesses those that follow his rules. Psalm 145, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that call upon him. To all that call upon him in truth, he will fulfill the desires of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. Turn to Psalm 69. Psalm 69, verse 13. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Turn to Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15, verse 29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. Turn to Jeremiah 29. Understand that God can hear your prayer. Oftentimes it's said, well, I'll pray to God and whatever happens will happen. Understand. No, you can know that God will hear your prayer. You know, we're going to read a little bit about Psalm 66, 18. One of our, just love that verse, can't, just love every time I read it. God resisted, nope. Hold on, hold the spot here. Turn to Psalm 66. I understand what Brother Roger says about the brain cell not opening up. Psalm 66, verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily, God hath heard me and hath attended to my voice of my prayer. I love verse 19 so much because the psalmist here, he knew God hath heard me and attended his voice to my prayer. Has anybody ever had that moment where you knew your prayer was heard by God? If you are saved, truly, you know that you've had a prayer answered by God. I guarantee you, if you have talked to God since then with a heart right with God, you have had your prayer answered before. I can think of times, you know, it's been said, well, how do I know that I'm saved? Have you ever had a prayer answered by God? That's an indication you might be saved because, first off, he answered your prayer when he saved your soul. Secondly, he gives you these moments of confirmation later in your life. Anybody ever just ask God, can you help me know if I'm saved or not? You know what? He shows you in your word that you can know that answer. It's amazing how much we have access to God. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. That ye shall call upon me and shall go and pray unto me. And I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search with me for me with your whole heart. Turn to Deuteronomy 4. Deuteronomy 4, verse 29. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou shalt seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. One of the biggest reasons why prayers don't get answered is because we don't seek God truly with our whole heart. And beyond that, we don't believe God can actually answer those prayers. You go read James, it talks about those prayers of faith, can heal the sick, do all these great things. How many of us, when we pray to God, we say, Lord, I want you to do this, but I don't actually believe you can, but I got to check off that box. That is not going to be a prayer that gets answered by God. If you're just saying, Lord, I don't actually believe that you can do this, but I might as well try. God's not going to answer that because you have no faith in God. You go read those stories. We read one Sunday about the centurion servant. You go read the woman who touched Jesus' garment and was healed. Why would that happen? Because of their faith. You want something to happen from God, you got to start by believing he can actually do it. You don't have to fix your problems when you just let God do it for you. You want to know the best way to get God on your side, or I don't know, take your burdens to God? Start by getting down and praying to him. Actually, and not just saying the words, breaking down, humbling yourself in the eyes of God, and talking to him like he truly wants to hear and answer your prayer. It baffles my mind when I sit down and I just pray to God and I just say the words and I think, oh yeah, God's going to hear that prayer. No, he won't. You go, we're not going to read it, but the two people, the Pharisee and the publican, there was one that humbled himself, prayed down and bowed to God. His prayer got answered. How many of us, though, are the Pharisee that says, yeah, I do all these great things, listen to my amazing prayer, and God didn't even hear it? Turn to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sins and heal their land. Verse 14, if my people, that starts with an option. You get to decide if your prayer is going to be heard by God. Because if you go to God in the way he has set forth, you can know God will hear your prayer. He might not always answer it the way you want him to answer it, but he will hear your prayer. And when you truly pray to God for his answer, you won't care if it works out the way you want it to. You'll be okay with what he says. You go read Jesus' prayer when he was in the garden. Not my will, but thine be done. He wanted it to pass. He said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But you know what? He was okay when it happened because he knew it was God's will. If we start praying and asking God, but understanding that if I'm not right, Lord, I want your will to be done no matter what, you'd be amazed at how much better your life gets when we just get down in prayer and talk to God and understand you get to go to your Savior. You get to go to the creator of the heaven and earth. I think about this all the time. How often do I think God can't handle my own problems? And then I have to remember, he created everything. There is not a single problem that he can't fix. The problem is me not going to him and letting him fix it. All right, we got to jump. There's a lot of verses here. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. I challenge you, if you don't have anything else to read this week, just get a concordance, get your phone out, search the word prayer and see how often God talks about praying to him. Go just read the book of Psalms and see how often God talks about it. Why do you think that is? Because it's important to him. Because of the things that we're going to read about. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Verse 16, we can come boldly to the throne of grace. You can go directly to God. How amazing is that? And how often do I take it for granted? Turn to Exodus. Exodus 30. Understand, it was not always that free to go to God directly. It was not always allowed to go directly to his throne. He used to be very, it was very limited on what access mankind had to God. Do we understand that everything that was limited is now free for us to have? How amazing is it that we are born and live in this time frame, amen, where we get to go to God directly? I can't imagine sometimes what those people, when we get up to heaven, they're like, you actually got to talk to God face to face. Not face to face, but one on one. You got to talk to him. You didn't have to worry about going to this sacrifice every time you go sin. You didn't have to worry about going into the altar and all the strict rules of if I don't do this properly, if I don't do that properly, I might die. If I, you know, mess up and have one mistake, it could be my end of my life. We understand how much freedom God has given us today. And then think about how often we take it for granted. Turn to Exodus. Exodus chapter 30, verse 1. And thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon. Of shittim wood shalt thou make it. A cubit shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof. Four square shall it be, and two cubits shall be the height thereof. The horns thereof shall be of the same. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, the top thereof and the sides thereof round about, and the horns thereof. And thou shalt make unto it a crown of gold round about, and two golden rings shalt thou make it under the crown of it. By the two corners thereof, upon the two sides of it, shalt thou make it. And they shall be for a place for the staves to bear it withal. And thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood and overlay it with gold. And thou shalt put it before the veil that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with thee. And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning when he dresseth the lamps, and shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generation. So we're back at the tabernacle time, and there was this altar of incense, and it was placed right before the veil of God. So it went, I'm not even going to worry about that. When you look at the tabernacle, you went into the holy place. There was the candlestick, altar, or table of showbread, and right ahead was the altar of incense, right before that veil. The closest you could get to God without crossing that veil was this altar of incense. Understand, turn to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. And when he had taken the book, and the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Turn to Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8. Verse 3, and another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Understand, that altar of incense, it pictured the prayers of the saints. Understand that God put the prayers of the saints but between the veil and his holy place. The closest you can get to God is when you are in prayer at that altar. But then turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Understand, we're in the tabernacle in the temple. There was a veil blocking the altar of incense to God. There is no veil there anymore. That veil was rent when Jesus Christ died on the cross. You go read Matthew 26. When he died, the veil of the temple rent from top to bottom. There is no hindrance between us and going to God directly in prayers. How amazing is it that that happened, where Jesus Christ died on the cross? Yes, he died to save your soul. Yes, he died to buy the church. He also died so that you can have freedom to go to God. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. 1 John chapter 2 says we have an advocate with the Father, a propitiation. Understand that without Jesus Christ sitting right next to the throne of God, being that intercessor, that mediator, we have no access to God. Do we understand how special it is what Jesus Christ died for on the cross? Yes, he died to save your soul. But he also died so that you can have fellowship with God and have that conversation with him. But how often do I treat it? Not that big of a deal. Got to get through this prayer. You know, we have prayer meeting. It's people tell long stories. It gets hot. I'm tired of listening to this. Let's just move on. Let's say the quick prayers and let's keep it going with the service. Forgetting all the fact that those times that we have in prayer, let alone a group of God's people together praying at one time over these concerns and burdens that we have, is an amazing power that we just often waste thinking it's not that big of a deal. It is truly a big deal to God. It is something that Jesus Christ died for. When was the last time you prayed to God with your whole heart? When was the last time you went to God humbly and just let it all go before him? Can you think of the last time it happened? Or has it been so long that you can't even remember when it was? It's a sad thing if we can't remember the last time we went to God full heart seeking him in prayer. It should be something we do every single day. You know, pray without ceasing. Constant state of prayer. That also means you should be in a constant state of ability to pray. But how many of us, you know, turn to Psalm 66 once again. Psalm 66, verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Turn to Job. Turn to Job 42. If you have sin in your heart that you are unwilling to confess and get taken care of, the Lord will not hear your prayer. Just Job 42, verse 8. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For him I will accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, and that ye have spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. Understand, this God was talking to Job and his friends here, and he said, Job's prayer I will answer. I will hear his prayer. Why? Because Job was right with God. The rest of them had some things they need to get taken care of. Understand, if you have sin in your life that you are unwilling to let go of and confess to God, he will not hear your prayer until you ask that prayer of repentance. Lost friend, if you are unwilling to let go of the sin, to repent and ask God with full heart to save your soul, you will never be saved. Because that is what it takes for your prayers to get answered. Saved child of God, church member, it doesn't matter how long you've been a church member. If you have unconfessed sin in your life, your prayers will not be answered. Right. How scary is it to know that there have been times in my life and in your life where you knew you were not able to pray? I think about that, you know, people tell stories about in the last second something happened and they said a quick prayer to God and everything worked out. Imagine being in a position where you can't pray to God But you need God right then and there. How scary is it to know that you have that access, but because of your pride, you won't let that happen? You want to know who controls that? You do. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men your trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Jump up to verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This right here, it's the model prayer. It's how we are supposed to pray. When you pray, understand, verse 9, Our Father which art in heaven. You are talking to God the Father directly. Understand that He is the one that forgives your sins. But there's verse 14 and 15 there. If you aren't willing to forgive others, God won't forgive you. If you aren't willing to let go of the things in your life, your prayer, your pride, your sin, your what, fill in the blank of whatever it is, why do we expect God will just forgive me of whatever I want? He has to. He's God. I get to do whatever I want. That is not how it works. That is never how it's worked. You go ask Adam and Eve. They thought they were right. They could have done whatever they wanted. Guess what? God expelled them from the garden and sent them through life for all mankind. Lucifer thought, I'll be okay, I can take over God, God will bend to my will. It has never worked out. So why do we think that if I just keep doing the same thing in my life, eventually God will bend to my will and He'll answer my prayer? No, He won't. And you will sit there alone forever. You'll be the one sitting there saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You want to know why He did? Because you forsook Him first. Turn to Isaiah 59. This doctrine of prayer being limited and, you know, you having to have meet certain qualifications to pray to God and you have your prayers answered is one that will cause a lot of issues, because there's a lot of people who are out in this world who are wrong with God, who have walked away from God's house and think, how dare you say God won't hear my prayer? You know what? I didn't say it. God did. Amen. How dare, don't even, it's not my will. Read the word of God. He'll tell you what the answer is. By the way, that altar of incense, where was that at? In the tabernacle. Amen. Who is in the tabernacle? The priest. Those are the church members today. Joe Jew wasn't walking in there doing whatever he wanted and thinking God's going to hear it. No, he had an order. Same way he has an order today. Where are those prayers at? In a New Testament church. So if you are crossways with the New Testament church, if you have walked away from God, don't expect your prayers to get answered. You know, those are fighting words for some people. But you have to understand, it is what God says, Isaiah 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongues hath muttered perverseness. Jump to verse 12. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. Understand, the only thing that will separate you and God is your own sin. And if you are unwilling to get that taken care of, whatever it might be, you will stay separated from God until you are willing to get that right with Him. Well, how do I get that right? You repent and admit that you are wrong and God is right. Well, that's not getting your heart right with God. That's putting my way in it. And as long as I'm going my way, God will not hear my prayer. That is a hard, hard thing to deal with. But it's what God said. That's how God set it up. And you know what the amazing thing about it is? God can still forgive your sins. Well, it's been so long. You know what? God has forgiven a lot of sins in His life. He can forgive yours if you follow Him. Turn to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. Verse 4, And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping this covenant and mercy to them that love Him, and to them that keep His commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from Thy precepts and from Thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto Thy servants the prophets, which spake in Thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto Thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as is this day. To the men men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, though through all the countries whither thou hast driven them because of their trespasses that they have trespassed against thee. Jump down to verse 17. Now therefore, O Lord God, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplication, and cause thy face to shine upon us, thy sanctuary that is desolate, for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes and behold our desolation, and the city which is called by the name, for we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do defer not. For thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Understand that if for verse 17, 18, and 19 to happen, where they cried out to God and God heard their prayer, what had to happen first? I prayed to God and made my confession. Amen. And I said, the great and dreadful God, verse 5, we have sinned and committed iniquity. If you are willing to admit that you are a sinner, admit that you screwed up and get your heart right, God is willing to forgive you. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That promise is still true today. But what does it happen? If we confess our sins, it is on you of what you're going to do with God. Your prayers getting answered are what you are willing to do for God. If you are willing to humble yourself and seek God with your whole heart and go to him in the manner he has sought fit to put for you, he will answer your prayer. And amazing how much power it is to go to God, our creator, in prayer. That he, 1 Peter chapter 5, I believe it is, says, casting our care upon him, for he careth for you. How great is it to know that I have a God who cares for me, who wants the best in my life, and all I have to do is just listen to his will. You know, parents, you see the kids, and you just think, if you would just obey, your life would get a whole lot easier. I wouldn't have to spank you. You wouldn't get in trouble all the time. I wouldn't have to yell at you. That's the same way God is to us. If we just listen to what he says, he wouldn't have to spank us. He wouldn't have to get onto us. He wouldn't have to judge us as harshly as he's going to. He is our father. We are his sons. All we have to do is just obey. And the step one of that is confess your sins and go to God in prayer. But I can't do that. That's too humiliating for me. People are going to say these things. People might, who cares what people think when you are going to God directly? I get so frustrated at myself when I know there's times that I need to go to God in prayer. The Spirit's moving in my heart and I know I need to pray. And I think, well, what is people going to think about me? That means I don't really care what God thinks. There should be nothing that hinders us from going to God when he is calling on us. If I just keep letting myself or what other thought in my way, I would never have been saved. Lost friend, if you keep caring about what everybody else is going to think, everybody else is going to say, doesn't matter if you're a church member for your whole life, guess what? You still need to get saved if you are lost. Amen. Well, people might think this. If somebody has a problem with you getting your heart right and getting saved, they're the ones that are wrong, not you. Amen. They can answer to God for that. It is not about what I think on them and my judgment on them. It is, what does God want for them and what does God want for me? Not my will, but thine be done. I don't have to like it. That is a hard thing. But the power of God, prayer to God. Turn to Exodus 32. Exodus 32. Verse 11, and Moses besought the Lord his God, and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of testimony were in his hand, and the tables were written on both sides, on the one side and on the other were they written. Understand, verse 11 through 14, Moses went to God, and what does it say that God did in verse 14? The Lord repented of the evil that he thought to do unto his people. Don't get a mistake in that evil. He was justified in everything he wanted to do to wipe them out. Yep. Moses' cry unto him changed his mind. Amen. That is the power that a prayer of a righteous man does. When it says availeth much, it changed God's mind in that moment. That prayer, that ability, still available to us today. The only reason it doesn't happen in my life is because I don't have as much faith in God as Moses did. Because I don't believe God's word is true. It is true that if God did that for Moses, why can't he do that for you? Same God we're dealing with. Jesus Christ, same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same exact God that Moses had, that Abraham had, that all these great people had. Same God you have today. The only difference is they were willing to surrender to God. I'm not. What a shame of me that I've been giving everything by God. The most access and ability to serve God to the best of my abilities as any mankind on this earth. The grace that God has given to me, and I think, it's not that big of a deal. I waste every opportunity I have. Shame on me. But understand, we've already talked about it. It's not too late. If you are a sinner, if you have sin in your life right now, if you know you're wrong with God, guess what? You still have a breath. Ask God for forgiveness. Get your heart right. He has not said, I'm done hearing your prayer. You can still get your heart right if, 1 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, the choice is yours. Do you want to be crossways with God? Do you want to be in fear knowing that I can't cry out to God because I have sin in my life? You know how much more comforting it is to know that when I pray to God, he will hear my prayer? That yes, I can ask brethren to pray for me and get a group of people together, and the more prayers, the better, but I know I can go to God directly, one-on-one, me and him. That when I go in a church service and I get to kneel down at the altar, I get to talk to my God directly, one-on-one. How amazing is that? How often do I waste it, though? How much has God given me? And I just said, it's not that big of a deal. It is a shameful thing, but it's amazing what can happen. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Understand, when we pray to God, we get to talk to him. God is not going to talk back to you. He's not going to answer some magic voice. Is not going to appear in your dreams or in your sleep. The way God answers to us is through his word. Understand that if you want to pray to God, ask God for whatever it is, you better get into his word and get the answer from him directly. God's not going to whisper some voice and say like he did to Elijah, some still small voice. He's not going to talk to you like he did to Moses. We have the word of God, though. We don't need him to talk to us directly. We have his voice right here. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration to God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God has given us this word to make us perfect and make us thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Understand, that perfect does not mean sinless. You will have sin in your life. He can make you complete. What is one of the things he tells us in his word? Go to God in prayer. How to get God to answer your prayers. And then you get into the word of God and see what God wants for your life. Turn to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. You want an answer from God? Get into his word of God and understand he's going to tell you what to do in his word by following what he has laid out. Understand, God is not going to answer a prayer that will take you away from him. If you think, well, I know God wants me to do this, so I'll just pray, and if he doesn't do it, I'll still do it anyways because it'll be okay. That's not God. That is you being God. It has never worked out. Go read David. It's an example of you making your own way. Go read, literally open a book in the Bible, and you'll probably find a story of something like that. Go read Judges. It happened a lot in Judges. Understand, if you want God on your side, you want him to answer your prayers, you want God to be the best friend that he has been for Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, for Moses, for Paul, for John the Baptist, for John the Beloved, that same God is available. I just have to do what he tells me to do. And it starts with me getting myself out of the way by humbling myself, asking God for forgiveness, and saying, what do you want me to do? And when I ask that, get into the word of God and see what he wants me to do. That is how you get close to God. That is how we go to the throne of grace. That is how our whole life can be given over to God. Yeah. It's as simple as just doing what God tells us to do. So right here and now, if you know that you need something to get taken, you need to get your heart right with God. Whatever it is, I don't care. I don't need to know. No one needs to know. You know. Maybe it's something you've been holding on to for years. You just can't let go. Understand that as long as you hold on to that, God will not hear your prayer. And you will always have a block between you and God that you have set up for yourself. I guarantee you there will be no regret in your life if you just let that go and let God be a part of your life. There will never be I've never known anybody to regret their getting their heart right with God. Truly getting your heart right with God will take you closer to God and give you things that you have never experienced in this life without it. You want to know how I know? When I finally let go and God saved my soul, my life got better. When I finally answered the call to preach, I was not miserable all the time anymore. If you are constantly convicted and miserable, it's because you need to get something taken care of. And I guarantee you, when you do that, your life gets better. It's amazing how God works that way. What is the first start? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. You repent, you cry out to God, and then you do what God wants you to do. It's that simple. Let's all stand. Pianist and song leader, come. We're going to have an invitation. Invitation is not just a time that we sing a slow song that sounds really good. It's an opportunity for us to come and talk to God, to come down to this altar that he's prepared for us, to go to God directly, to cast your burdens on him, to take the privilege that Jesus Christ died for of being able to ask God and take our petitions, our burdens, to cast them to God directly in his place where he is at. Two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of him. Jesus Christ is here today. Why don't you talk to him right now? What number shall we sing?